morning and welcome to everyone who's joining us on Zoom, wherever and however you are worshipping with us today. In Blairdaff and Chapel Vigiri, there's not a huge amount of news, but we'll be worshipping in Chapel Vigiri Parish this morning. And we won't have teas and coffees today, but we will be next week as we feel the Omicron will be slightly reduced. And now over to Joshua in Kemney.
Thank you, Stella. Nice to see everybody today. Just a little bit of news from Kemney to share. We're continuing with worship this Sunday, the 30th, with continuing our sermon series on the book of James. We'll be looking at the passage from the third chapter about taming the tongue. And throughout this week, we'll also have other activities available. Sunday as well, we have our continuing Sunday school for children over at the church center. Children and families are welcome to start at worship at Kemney Kirk, and then they can be excused for Sunday school after the children's song, or they can make their way directly over to the church center for Sunday school, which starts about 10:30 in the morning. And on Fridays, we'll be continuing with our music and play group, Little Lambs of Kemney. And the information for that can be found on the Little Lambs of Kemney Facebook page. And that's the news from Kemney. Now I'll pass it over to Tose.
Okay, thank you. Good morning. In Kindo, next week we are going to have our message, and it is going to be in person. That's all from Kindo. I think if there is another announcements new, we'll continue with the announcements. I now pass on to Ewan.
Thank you, Tozi, and it's great to be able to join with everyone for this blether and for our worship together. Just a few intimations really from Clooney and Money Musk. Next Sunday we shall be worshipping back in Clooney for the month of February, so we'll be in Clooney either church or hall. I say either church or hall next Sunday because the Sunday school restart next Sunday, and we are unsure if it's going to be online. If it's in person, we will worship in the church, and the Sunday school will go to the hall. But if they're joining together online, we shall be worshiping in the hall itself. But so just come along. It doesn't make any difference. You're going to come to church, and it's just next door to one another. We also have our mainly music group on Tuesday, a midweek service, and we are hoping to start a confirmation class during February. And so I think that's all the intimations. So I pass you now to Sheila.
Good morning, everybody. We're delighted that after the service in Echt this Sunday, we're going to recommence with hospitality, and it's going to be great to go back to teas and coffees and have some time of fellowship after worship. Usually our first Sunday in the month, worship is held in mid-March, so hopefully on the first Sunday in February, weather permitting, so long as we're not snowed in by that point, the service will be in mid-March. But please do keep an eye on the church website for more information. This weekend, this coming Sunday, the 30th, I'm looking forward to worshipping with the people at Blairdaff and Chapel of Giri at Chapel of Giri. And the service at Echt will be led by a member of the congregation, Mr. Alistair Robb. And we're looking forward to welcoming him very much to Echt. And it's over now to Neil in Kintore.
Thank you, Sheila. And just to add to what Tose said about Kintore, we have our drop-in centre on a Friday morning starting at 9:30 till 11. And if you'd like to make donations to the food bank, you could come along, have a cup of tea and make your donation to the food bank there. We'd love to see you. And our Sunday night Bible study Bible chat has started again. We're working through the Sermon on the Mount with Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And if anybody would like to come along to that conversation, the details of the Zoom link are on our website. Over to Stella.
Thank you, everyone. I should listen to that taming of the tongue for speaking mistakes without checking my information. Of course, Blairdaff is on the 30th, because Sunday is on the 30th, and even numbers are in Blairdaff. So Sheila, please do be sure you're in Blairdaff this Sunday. And because the Sunday is the fifth Sunday, we then swap over. So Blurred Apple will then be the first Sunday in February as well. There's only a couple of times a year that is consecutive in the same Kirk. But for everyone else, I hope whatever the weather is, you have a very warm welcome in joining this service or any of the other services you attend in person. And this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning. We may not all be gathered in the same building, but at this time when we need each other so much, we are invited to worship together from where we are, knowing that God can hear us all and can blend even distant voices into one song of worship. People of God, open your eyes. Look around. The presence of our Lord Jesus Christ is here, among us and within us. God's salvation is close at hand, nearer than you know. So open your hearts and minds to the Spirit, and let's worship God together. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Let us pray. Power, greatness, and majesty belong to you, O God. Crafted with skill and precision is our world, Spirit-led and influenced are our lives, and made in the divine image are we all. We come to offer worship to the God whose glory fills the world, whose grace is our inspiration, and whose forgiveness is our comfort. We come to find strength in one another, and as a community of faith to offer our collective praise. We know that God calls us to be honest with ourselves and with others, and so we have the courage to bring to mind those things that come between us and our true inner peace, to name the things we might have got wrong, or would have wanted to do better or be different. There are things in our lives that we would change if we could. There are characteristics about us that sometimes get us into trouble. There are times we might have longed for a second chance or to be able to take back words said in haste or in irritation. There are times when we've simply been unthinking in what we might have said or done, oblivious to the effect we've had on others. So where we've noticed intolerance creeping into our opinion of others, or where words of criticism have come too easily to mind, or where we've become so wrapped up in the day-to-day business of our own lives that we've forgotten to look outwards, then we pray, Lord, forgive us. God of grace and mercy, to make mistakes is to be human, and to name them before you takes courage and faith. Faith in your promise of forgiveness. Faith in your ability to understand us. Faith in your commitment to love us, come what may. We are made in the image of God and pleased to take strength from God's promise of forgiveness. Loving God, walk with us this next part of our journey, individual and collective, and help us to live lives that are worthy of our calling as your disciples. And so we make our prayers, both these spoken and unspoken, in and through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we now come to the opening hymn from Mission Praise number 151. I'm building a people of power.
Church, Lord.
Our reading is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 4 to 10. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and therefore you were born. I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a youth,' for to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." May the Lord bless the reading of his word in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Love unites, and by uniting, transforms all that it unites. This was the mantra of my systematic theology lecturer, Brian Gaber. He used to say, "Love unites, and by uniting, transforms all that it unites." You see, love has a tremendous power to change us. Love changes everything, as the song says. But love also changes everyone whose life it touches. Our scripture reading today is the story of Jeremiah's call. Jeremiah, who would be the great prophet, and the story of how he was called by God. Even in this moment of calling, we see how love has the power to transform the prophet from what he was into what he would be. In this passage, as we hear the word of God come to the prophet, we discover, first of all, that love touches us, and that touch is a powerful thing. In verse 9, we read, "The Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth." It sounds so intimate, such a touching, special moment between God and the prophet. But there is nothing gentle about this touch. There is nothing gentle about the touch of God. The same word for touching here, as Jeremiah says, "The Lord touched my mouth," is the very same word that was used in the story of Job chapter 1, where we are told that God touches the house where Job's family and children are feasting, leaving every one of them dead beneath the roof. When the angel of God touches Jacob as he wrestles with God by the Jabbok River, we're told that Jacob, when he's touched by God, is partially crippled and remains a cripple for the rest of his life. The point is that to be changed, to be touched by God, to be changed and transformed by love, is not necessarily as sweet and as gentle as it may sound. For Jeremiah, it was like a smack in the mouth. For Jacob, it was like a smack on the hip. For many of us, I guess, it could be a smack on the butt to get us moving. And then every now and then, for many of us, when God's transforming power of love smacks us, it smacks us in that place where it hurts most of all, the wallet. Love's transformation calls our own self-understanding into question. When love transforms us, when love calls us and changes us, we're left asking, who am I? Do I know who I am? What kind of person am I? Am I sure of who I am? Jeremiah immediately enters into self-doubt when he hears God's call. He says, I don't know how to speak. I'm only a child. Others have said, I'm only a woman. I'm not educated. I don't have the gift of the gab. I'm not really musical. I really don't have the time. How many people miss their calling in life, not because of any obstacle in their way, but because they themselves cannot change the way they see themselves? Now, a motivational speaker would say to such a person, just believe in yourself. You have the power inside you. Interesting that God answers this self-doubt in a slightly different way. Not by saying to the prophet, you've got it in you, I know you can do this. But by saying, don't be afraid, for I am with you and here to deliver you. You see, the solutions to self-doubt and self-rejection is not to have super self-confidence. The solution lies in relationship. You are not alone. God loves you, accepts you, and still calls you. It should be no wonder that the transforming power of love works through relationship, because love is relationship. Of course, if we should begin to become transformed, one of the problems is that others around us may reject the changes that begin to take place in us. Jeremiah feared that that might happen. But of course, we know from the Gospels that it actually happened to Jesus. You may recall in one of the stories about Jesus, the one we read last week, if you were following our services, Jesus stands up to speak in his hometown of Nazareth. And it sounds all positive as he's speaking in the synagogue. It sounds fantastic. We read there that all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. But in the very next breath, we hear that the people of Nazareth started saying, isn't this Joseph's son? Isn't this the son of the carpenter? You see, change can be difficult in an environment that supports your old way of being. It's tough to be a rabbi when everybody keeps calling you to say, could you fix my roof trusses or help me put up my picket fence? I'm not saying you should reject people who love you, but you might need to break some old habits. You might need to change your routine somehow. And if love begins to transform you, it might mean it's time to surround yourself with people who will support you, who will be part and celebrate the way that you are becoming who God has called you to be. I guess more importantly for us, as a church community, we need to ask ourselves, are we the kind of community that allows people to change? Or do we paint people in a certain color the moment they walk through the door and say, ah, that's what you're like, ah, that's what you're like? Do we really have the kind of community that can allow transformation to take place amongst us? The next thing to say about transformation is that there's nothing new about the transformation that love brings about us. In verse 5, listen to these words, beautiful. Before I formed you in the womb, says God, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. You see, the change that love brings about inside us is nothing other than the greater fulfillment of what we are already called to be in the first place. Self-actualization, if you want to use the fancy name for it, becoming who you were really meant to be. This is not to deny the gifts that you have, but rather to allow them to flower and flourish and be used more purposefully. And finally, to say that love is that the change that love brings is never the goal in itself. In verse 10, we read, "See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build up and to plant." It was never about Jeremiah. This transformation that was going to happen to him, this calling on his life, was never about him. It was about what he would do for the nations, what he would say to the people that God wanted to reach. If the love of God transforms you, you can be sure it is for a reason, for a purpose, for a task. And the direction of the change is always to be in the direction of greater love, inclusion, salvation, healing. And so love is both the goal and the agent of change. There's another man who changed, somebody I had the privilege of knowing. His name was Bruce. Bruce was a maths teacher in an inner city school where my wife taught in Johannesburg. Life had been unkind to Bruce, and by the time we met him, he was living quite a solitary lifestyle. By day, he would teach some of the wildest, hardest children in Johannesburg, and then go home at night to a flat not far away from the school in the inner city of Johannesburg, where he would hide himself away behind burglar bars and security gates, and hide in his flats so that he wouldn't be disturbed or troubled by the violence of the streets around him. The only bit of joy that he had, or distraction that he had, was that he bought himself a Casio tone keyboard. Do you remember those old electronic keyboards? And there he would sit at night and teach himself how to play. And he could tinkle out a tune with a bit of help and with some sheet music that he'd begged, borrowed, and stolen. As it turned out, our organist at the church retired, and we needed to replace our organist. So we were casting around for just anybody who could play a keyboard. And Michelle said, "Well, I think there's a maths teacher at work who can play a bit." We asked Bruce to come around and take a look at the organ. He'd never seen anything like this before, or certainly if he'd seen it, he'd never played one before. The two different sets of keys, and not to mention the pedals down at the bottom, it was all quite overwhelming. But the organ console wasn't nearly as intimidating to Bruce as the rows and rows of ladies' faces sitting behind the organ in the choir stalls. He was so intimidated by them. They were expecting not just an organist, but a choir director too. Bruce nearly ran for the hills. But I said to him, "Just stay. Just give it a go." And turns out the ladies in the choir were just overwhelmed, so happy to see a man and have a man to fuss over. Because as you know, most church choirs are fellowship groups first and only musical in the second instance. And so they began to fuss over him. Oh, they begged for him and they spoke to him and they drew him into their little network of conversations. They fussed over him. They loved him. And on the Sunday when he tinkled out the tune on the organ, haltingly and full of mistakes, they just sang all the louder to cover his mistakes and make sure that he was included in the church community. Bruce hadn't come to us because he had a particular faith. He came to us because we needed him. What he found in the community, particularly in the choir, was a community of love. And he began to change. Oh, he never became a good organist. He could still manage a tune, but that was about it. But some years afterwards, long after I'd left the congregation, I heard that when Bruce had retired, he had applied for the job of caretaker at the church and had moved from his flat in the inner city to the little house that was on the church property. He still showed up to help out with the music on Sundays, but during the week, he started gathering the street children who lived around our church building. He gathered them in to help him start a garden. He started a vegetable garden and a community garden. The kids would come from around there to become included and loved by the church community. You see, love changes everything and everyone. Amen.
This last week, our world reflected on the lasting horror and continued meaning of the Holocaust. This year, the theme for Holocaust Remembrance is One Day. Let us pray. Loving God, today we pray for the Eastern Mediterranean region, where snowfall has disrupted life for internally displaced people in camps in Syria. In just one day, the little shelter they had to call home was destroyed. Today we pray for those caught in the stampede at the Africa Cup of Nations match in Cameroon. And we pray as well for those who mourn the 8 who died. Just one day, and yet it means that families and friends' lives are forever changed and disrupted. Today we pray for those who in their time of need are still crossing or who are trying to cross the border between Myanmar and Thailand. Lord, may this be the one day they reach a place of safety. Lord, today we give thanks that women in Guatemala are celebrating a judicial victory in sexual violence cases that have gone on for over half of a century. We pray, Lord, that the powers of justice will build on this victory and that one day there will be true peace and equality for all who have suffered because of gender. Lord, today we pray for the protection of new ecosystems in our world, such as the giant pristine coral reef that was discovered off the coast of Tahiti, French Polynesia. And we pray that one day we will see a genuine global response to the COP26 climate summit. Lord, today we pray as well for the mission of the church here in Kemne, throughout our parish grouping, throughout our presbytery, throughout the country of Scotland, and throughout the world. Lord, may you empower us as your followers to share the good news in thought, in word, and in deed. May you set our hearts on fire with passion for the good news of Jesus Christ. Use our lives, every part of them, to point back to yourself and draw others to faith in you. Loving God, we bring all these prayers and all of the unspoken prayers upon our hearts into your loving presence, and we pray them in Jesus' name. And as a sign of our faith in you, Lord, we now join our voices together in prayer, praying the words that Jesus taught to us. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And now receive God's blessing. Go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast to what is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honour all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forever. Amen.